Magandang umaga. Magandang umaga.
Good morning to you. Oh.
You're right on. You're right on. That was Tagalog for good morning. Magandang umaga. I have the privilege and joy to go to the Philippines on international missions. I've gone six times since 2015, and that's what I say when I get up, and after that I'm done, because that's about all the Tagalog I know. And then after that I'm doing English, and most time I have a translator, but occasionally I get to speak by myself without a translator, which I really like. A lot of them can understand English, they just have trouble speaking it, so that's really nice. I'm really glad you're here today, because if you weren't here, it'd be kind of awkward for me. I trust that you had a good holiday season so far, and you know, we had 25 yesterday. We call it Thanksmas. It's kind of a tradition we've started because we have part of our family that's unable to be around Christmas. So we gather together either Thanksgiving or the Saturday after, have our meal and time of thanks. And then about 2 o'clock, we switch to Christmas. We go from the upstairs to the downstairs and have all the 11 grands spread out and kind of focus on them and read the Christmas story. And we have our annual Thanksmas. Been doing it for almost 20 years, and it's worked out good for us. Turning your copy of Scripture, if you will, to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. I want to speak to you today on thoughts concerning a new pastor. Thoughts concerning a new pastor. Are my notes over there?
No.
Really? Well, that would be fun.
Find them?
Yeah. All right, Joshua chapter 1. Would you stand, please, in honor of the reading of the word? Scripture says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Father, I pray that you'll bless the reading and the hearing of your word. Speak to us today, in Jesus' name. Amen. In speaking of using 21st century analogy, we have here Moses, who is a mega pastor, senior pastor. Big church. And he has this associate pastor in Joshua. Moses was over so many people that we know early on that from the advice of his father-in-law, he decides to put them together or divide them up into smaller groups. So we have small group leaders. He had this humongous church, and he was in the process of relocating them. God had given them a specific relocation place. As a matter of fact, what we just read, he described to them the area of the property, and in Deuteronomy chapter 34, he tends to expand on the description of that property. So there was real land, real property that they were going to relocate to. Moses was preparing the people for what lay ahead. But God had some other plans for Moses. As we know, Moses did not get to travel or relocate. God did allow him to go up to Mount Pisgah and see the property. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 34, we see where Moses dies. And it tells us that Moses was 120 years old. His eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. He was a man of vitality, but it was his time. Everybody has their time, and this was Moses' time. God allowed him to serve. He died, and then God buried him up on that mountain. There was 30 days of mourning. Everything was focused in on Moses' leadership, Moses' days of being their shepherd, their pastor. And then we see in Joshua chapter 1, where after that 30 days, Moses pays a visit to Joshua. And he says, "My servant is dead. Now then. That's an interesting statement or concept, or interesting two words, as I'm going to share with you in just a moment. But I want you to think about this. There are several thoughts that we can glean from Joshua concerning a new pastor. And I'm not going to be able to get through all of it today unless you allow me to go to about 3 o'clock this afternoon, which that's not going to happen. So I'll share with you just some things. First statement I want to share with you is this, and it's profound. I'm going to knock your socks off. I'm going to blow you away with this. There comes a time for new leadership. You ever notice that? You know, we come to church and we stay and we're here year after year after year after year. But it's not uncommon for pastors to come and go. Even within the church body, having leaders, you know, deacons, Sunday school workers, whatever, there comes time for new leadership. It's just a part of the church growth cycle. God said, "My servant Moses is dead." What do you think Joshua was thinking at that moment? He's probably thinking, "Now what are we going to do? Moses is gone. Now what? What are we going to do?" Maybe you thought that every time your pastor left. "Now what are we going to do?" Yeah. But God doesn't say, "Now what?" What did he say? He said, "My servant is dead. Now then." God already knew what he was going to do. He already knew what was going to happen. He knows. And the same for your church. God's not surprised when pastors leave. Sometimes we are, but he's not. "My servant is dead. Now then, you and all the people, you and this church, all of you together, it's going to take all of you. Elkton Baptist Church, it's going to take all of you to move forward. No pew setters on this journey. All of you got to work together." He says, "Get ready. There's going to be some preparation. Are you ready?" You know, just because a pastor walks through that door doesn't mean it's going to happen. Are you ready? Get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them. Get ready to move into the future. Everyone needs to be involved in the process. He says, I have given you every place where you set your foot. He's talking to Joshua. He's saying, Joshua, every place you step your foot, led by me, it's already yours. I've already given it to you. Just as I promised Moses. You know what? When your new pastor comes, God's going to give him a vision for this church, for what he wants to happen. There'll be times when you will be able to see what your pastor's trying to do, trying to accomplish. But there'll be times you'll think to yourself, man, this guy's lost it. He's on another planet somewhere. You're going to think to yourself, that cannot be done here. We've never done church that way before. Just can't happen. So God comes to Joshua. He says, Joshua, I want you to listen to me. Moses is dead, but I'm not, and you're not. I have a plan for your life, and I have a plan for my people. That's pretty strong vocabulary right there. You know, when I was pastor, I used to say, man, I'd really love for you to come to my church. You know, I'd really like to see you come and be a part of this or that or that. But you know what? It wasn't my church. And you know what? You tend to do the same thing. You know what? I love my church. I want you to come. You need to come be a part of it. But see, it's not your church. It's not the deacon's church. It's not the person who gives the most money. It doesn't belong to him or her either. It doesn't belong to the person who gave the property to the church or however that happened. It's God's church. The universal church is a part of the church that Elkton is a part of. You're just the church in local expression. But it's still God's church. And he says, I have a plan for my people. He has a plan for Elkton Baptist Church. You know what? Some of your previous pastors, I mean, I don't know who they were or whatever. Some of them are probably deceased. You know, they've gone to be with the Lord. But many of them probably not deceased. You know, they're just not here. You know, they've served God at God's request, and their time has come and gone. You know, in our world today, pastors may come and stay 2-3 months. I've seen it happen. Some of them may stay 32 years. I've seen that happen. That's a long time. But every church will have a day when there will be a pastoral change. We just don't know what the tenure of a pastor is going to be. Some people have the attitude, well, you know, doesn't matter. Pastors just come and go. Well, they do come and leave for a season. But while they're here, they are the pastor. 2 months or 32 years. So there comes a time for new leadership. It's happened here. It may happen again before you go see Jesus. Second thing is this. Your new pastor will be different. Really? Yeah. Moses was a shepherd. He led the people through the wilderness trying to pastor them. They were stubborn. They had defiant attitudes. They were called stiff-necked people. Ever been around some of those animals? He loved the people. He was going to lead them to this relocation place that had kind of the same kind of people. It was inhabited by pagan nations. So they could not just go and walk in and enjoy the property. Moses had prepared them up to this point. Now Joshua was going to come in and lead them on. Moses was a shepherd. Joshua was a military man. He's different. Different skills for a different point in church history. If you were to look at all the pastors you've ever had, you will find that every one of them had a different set of skills. That's just the way it is. Pastors come in, and I think it's by the design of God, they come in with different skills to lead you from where you are to where you need to be. And you get to that point, and God brings in another pastor to lead you where you are to where you need to be. You see, right now, you're at a place you've never been before. You're going to need a pastor who has skill sets and backgrounds for today. Now think about this. You don't need someone to come in and help you do church the way you've always done church. I know you're starting to get a little uncomfortable right there. You don't need that. Are you with me? You don't need somebody to come in and do church the way you've always done church. Why? Because you can do that yourself. Are you with me? You agree? Are we on the same page here? We might go so far as to say, if you don't want any changes, don't call a pastor. Boy, I can't believe he said that first Sunday he's back. If you don't want any changes, don't call a pastor. You can do that yourself. Become a deacon-led or a lay-led church. Don't just bring in a figurehead. Don't just fill a vacancy. If you bring in a new pastor, you're going to have a new leader. So let him lead. And don't play the comparison game.
Well, Pastor so-and-so did it this way. Well, I liked how Pastor so-and-so did it.
Well, that was then and this is now. Pastor so-and-so is gone. He has no influence now. Amen. You need to be open-minded about a new pastor and his leadership. And here's another statement. I got a lot of statements. If you have a certain expectation as a church, make that known to him or make him aware of that before he comes. Don't let him come and say, oh, by the way, here's what we expect from you. He needs to know. Always tell a pastor up front what he can expect from you. It's, you know, when I've talked to committees along the way, it's always been interesting. They'll spend, man, it seemed like all day telling me what they expect from me. And then I'll say, well, you have any questions or what do you expect from us? And, you know, you just kind of get the impression they're going to allow you about 5 minutes. You know, It's all about what you can do for them. But tell them what you can do for the new pastor. You know what? You know, just the basic stuff, you know. Days off, vacation allowed, time for revivals, all that kind of stuff. What can he expect for, you know, things to, ways for you to support him? Another thing is, tell him what the sacred cows are. Every church has them. I promise you. You know, worship programs, furniture, meeting times. What do you expect from them, like I said, on the job? Anything that will cause commotion if changed. That's a sacred cow. Anything. I've been to a couple churches where they had this monster pulpit. And all you could see was my head. So one prayer meeting night, we were standing over here, and I asked, I said, can you tell me what some of the sacred cows are in the church? And they said, well, we don't think we have any. And I said, what about that pulpit up there? I just asked them. I said, is that a sacred cow? No. No? I thought to myself, well, we're going to find out. So I moved that rascal. Got rid of it. Got a smaller one that made me look big. Your next pastor is going to have a different personality. Accept who he is. Now, we're back to that, kind of like that pastor so-and-so. Well, you know, this pastor, most people like him. There's a couple of them that just really just don't care for him, but he's okay. And then another guy comes in, and we just kind of switch groups. This other group now likes him. The other group, well, he's okay. That's just the way it is. It's people. We're people. But accept who he is. Let him be himself. Don't try to mold him into what you want or what a previous pastor was that you liked so well. It's always best to put away any preconceived ideas about a new pastor. I have done surveys in different places, and, you know, what are you looking for in a new pastor? What would you like to see? You know, it's just opened up. You just tell, you know, they go down through there. We want this much education. We want him to be like the kids and preschool and youth and senior adults and everybody that walks in the door. We want him to minister to every age group. We want him to be available 24/7, on and on and on. And you'd get a whole long list. And you just kind of expect that guy to get up the first Sunday and rip off that shirt, got a big S on his chest. That's what churches are looking for. But it's just not that way. Every pastor, as I said, have different skills, but there's different areas of ministry they're stronger in than others. Just like you have certain areas in your life that you're stronger in than others, in your giftedness. So he told them to get ready. So that would be the fourth thing. You need to get ready. You need to get ready. Are you ready? That's the question right there. Not because, oh man, we've been without a pastor for so long, we just need to get one. Come on, come on, come on. No, that's not how we approach it. Oh, what's wrong with that pastor search committee? We've been chunking all those resumes to them, and we don't have anybody yet. No, that's not the way it works. That is not the way it works. Here's number four. Your new pastor has already been selected. I don't care how many resumes you chunk out there. I don't care how many guys the committee goes to here. I don't care how many men you have filtered through here. Your pastor's already been selected. Amen. When your last pastor left, God already knew who your next one was going to be. He just wanted you to wait, get ready, get prepared, and then let Him tell you who that person's going to be. You know, God has been leading this man. God has been preparing this man long before your last pastor left. He's been taking that man through events and experiences to equip him to come here. And it may be that he's not yet done preparing. You know, you've got some uncharted territories yet to go through. He needs to be prepared to come here to lead you through that. He's been grooming that pastor, but he's also been grooming his wife. You know, should he be married? This is the part my wife likes. Now listen to me well. There is no job description for the wife.
Amen.
We have sat down with a lot of committees and we found out there was. They had one. You know. And a lot of it's unspoken. You know, you get there and, well, why isn't she doing such and such? The last pastor's wife did that. So God's been preparing her. And if by chance your next pastor has teenagers or, you know, whatever, God's been preparing them to come as well.